Welcome to the Sportscast, April 21st, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitter, Apple Podcasts. We're now on Pandora. Also, we're on Twitch. Please subscribe there. And if you're listening to any of the podcast directories, especially Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can listen to us on thesportscast.net. Or you can go to our Twitter at the Sportscast One, see the latest and greatest. We update on the latest on NFL draft, and of course the Super League has been bombarded. This week is our second soccer show. I never had two soccer shows in a week. I think maybe since the World Cup in 2018, but because of the Super League Europe, we had to make an editorial change. We had to focus on this situation, this tournament that's now disbanded. After last night, six Premier League clubs said, no, we're not doing it. And the rest, the other chips have also said no as well. And a special guest today, another American soccer fan, a young leg all the way from Philadelphia. Well, you are on the Sportscast. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Always happy to talk some footy.
Before we head into the goods, tell us a little bit about yourself and your involvement with soccer.
Well, I am Anthony Chopa. They call me Young Leg. I am a Madridista through and through. Real Madrid is my club. Real Madrid is my home. It's what I bleed. I felt that I was actually committed once I got a tattoo on my back of the Real Madrid crest. My parents were not very thrilled. But I am Pennsylvania's Madridista. So if you want to go through Madrid, you got to go through me first. Do a lot of European football gambling, do a lot of just European football news, just hot takes off the cuff, 2 foot talk, rough takes. It's a rough game. It's a beautiful game, but just an American out here trying to give his wisdom, trying to help spread the good word of the beautiful game throughout America, since it's a taller task than I'd like it to be.
And something we were talking about before the show, there's a lot of fans that go to Chelsea, Man United, Liverpool. But I don't see too many fans going to Real Madrid. I think it's a good idea. If you are thinking about choosing a soccer team, Real Madrid would be a good choice.
Yeah, so I think it was like if you happen to, like, say you just became an NBA fan when the Warriors were the Warriors, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and all them. It's kind of like if you become a Madrid fan, it's like you're bandwagoning. But that's not really the case anymore with all these other people getting a ton of money. Real Madrid, obviously, still one of the most successful clubs of all time, but the whole bandwagoning aspect of it now is getting a little old when you got teams like Man City who just have like billions of dollars poured into their club. Inter Milan, same thing. Chelsea, same thing. Barcelona, somehow $2 billion in debt but still buying players. You know, we won't bring them up though.
There you have it. Anyways, let's go into the gist of the show. This past Sunday, 12 big clubs from Europe, even Tottenham, decided to join, create a Super League that was going to be launched in 2023 to 2024. Some said it would have been launched this year. 48 hours later, the clubs were backing down from it. The fans were protesting outside. You saw Real Madrid's president going on this rant about, hey, you know, UEFA's not being fair. Last night, six Premier clubs backed down. The other clubs have. I believe Real Madrid hasn't yet. Maybe they have, but a young leg will tell us. Tell us your thoughts over it these past couple of days and what you think so far.
So the last couple of days in the footy world has been, I don't know, kind of cool to see like how the fans actually do affect the game and like how we do have a say. At the same time, though, I was a little sickened by the fans because it was like, yo, guys, like this is such a bad idea, the Super League, that you guys are siding with UEFA and FIFA, two of the most corrupt organizations on the planet. That and like the whole thing with like the Premier League people talking about killing the game when the Premier League did the exact same thing 30 years ago where they took all the good teams and put them in one league to make more money. So I thought it was like there was a lot of hypocritical stuff going on because in my mind we were challenging UEFA, which needs to be done. I'm not siding with the UEFA Super League or the European Super League, but anything to get UEFA out of power to just make them look like they have a chink in their armor, them and FIFA, like two of the most. We have a World Cup coming up in Qatar in the middle of winter because FIFA decided to take some bribes, which I feel like everyone has like kind of gotten over already, which I'm not really over. It's going to be going on during the middle of the season. So my only issue with the Super League, besides the fact that teams were just guaranteed spots, is just that it was just a money grab. Rather than like, hey, we need to take power away from UEFA, away from FIFA, we need to show that the fans and the players actually have a say. It was just like, well, we actually just want to make $4 billion for signing our name. That was my main issue with it. I still think that another European competition besides the Champions League, I love the Champions League. I love how it's run. Outside the fact of UEFA stealing money from everyone, I just think there's a lot of shady stuff that we need to keep our eyes open to. We didn't see football yet. It's bad people and bad people. There's no good guy in this story where it's just like, oh, the fans are going to be so happy with this. It's like, well, we were used to what was going on, which was the FAs and UEFA and FIFA stealing all the money, and instead the big clubs tried to take it all and fuck over the other smaller clubs. So it's all just kind of a crapshoot. I don't know what the right thing is anymore, because we're literally just dealing with bad people and rich people trying to get more power and more money.
The Real Madrid president, Florentino Perez, was on this show called The Chingarito last night, and I believe the night before. And he talked about UEFA, how, you know, they make a lot of money from these clubs. And apparently these clubs have been losing money, especially this past year with COVID. Do you believe his statements that, you know, UEFA has taken advantage of these clubs?
Oh, for sure, but it's a business at the end of the day. You got to assume that they're getting their – nobody does anything for free. Let's get that out of the way right now. Just like all athletes, when we're looking at it, all athletes and all these sports like franchises, businesses, they're all way overpaid. They have a ridiculous amount of money for what is seen as a game, an escape for most people. They do a great job of what they're doing and whatnot, but everything is for money at the end of the day. We call him Don Perez because he really is just like a mob boss. The guy just – he does whatever he wants. He knows like the kind of power he has. He knows the money he has. He destroyed the 20-year legacy that he built at Real Madrid in the Champions League in 48 hours. And Barcelona and Real Madrid have still not left the European Super League. So it's at the point now where, as a fan, I bleed for Madrid. The players are part of me. The crest means everything to me. So I just want to know where we're going to play next year, because – as of right now, I don't know if we're going to be in La Liga. We might get kicked out. I don't know if we'll be in Champions League. Probably get kicked out. They were talking about kicking us out just this year. If we start a Super League, it's only us and Barcelona, which, fuck, I'll watch that. El Clasicos every week? Okay. That's fine with me. I don't mind beating up on Barcelona multiple times a year like that. That sounds exciting, but it's not an actual league. It's just like, hey, you want to pay a lot of money to watch these two really good teams play every week? So they took away the whole concept of the pyramid of football, of like anyone can earn a spot and you got to earn your way up, and they kind of Americanized it, which obviously the Europeans were very upset about, even especially when four of the English team owners between Tottenham, Arsenal, Liverpool, and United all have American owners that were for this deal. But Perez being the chairman, it's not a great look for Madrid. I just want to make sure that everyone knows that it wasn't the clubs, it was the owners of these clubs. Shoot, we saw Woodward step down from United. I think that there's going to be a lot of hell to pay for all of this. And I just hope that everything can work out where we're going to get a fair European competition, and we're not going to see one group of people with all the power and all the money that get to just make all the rules. Because there was changes done that, to me, they kind of ruined the Champions League now once I saw the changes and the $4 billion that they found overnight to help the elite clubs out.
Yes, the new format that's going to begin soon is they're going to expand from 32 teams to 36 teams. Anthony, do you think UEFA has to – I mean, will they reform these changes to make it, you know, a smaller competition? I think like the biggest complaint is, look, we don't want to see Budapest versus Madrid. We don't want to see some Greek team against Liverpool. Do you think they're going to make those changes to make it smaller, or do you think they're just going to keep expanding it?
No, they're going to just keep expanding it. And, like, I think for Americans that college football is, like, the perfect example of, oh, well, we just had a national final. Well, then we made it four playoff teams. And then it's like, well, if we're going to make it four playoff teams, why don't we just make it eight playoff teams? And it's just going to keep on growing and growing until anyone who's complaining will then – be quote unquote satisfied, or at least they'll shut up for a little bit until they realize they're like, dang, remember when it was just two big games with the four best teams in the nation? So it's definitely going to water down the competition. Obviously, like, this is where you get the cool stories from. This is where the magic happens, when you see a Budapest that somehow beats the odds and is able to defeat a Liverpool, like you said, or something along those lines. But that's like one out of every 100 games. And the other 99 that you have to pay to watch, it's not really worth watching. So I'm kind of torn on it. I definitely like it to be set as the 32. I thought 32 was plenty. To add more just so that teams are guaranteed 10 games so they can make more money is just another reason where it's like, oh, so you're just in it for the money. Notice how UEFA found money for people, and then they're going to create more games, which is essentially what the Super League wanted to do and what we didn't really like about it. Did you see the other clause that they added, where if your coefficiency like balances out, so pretty much if you're like Manchester United and you come in sixth place, you're still going to have a spot in the Champions League. So they essentially took the worst part of the Super League and added it to the Champions League now, which is why now that the Super League's talking about reforming, I'm already back on to, all right, is this going to be better than what Champions League's doing? Because now Champions League just has 36 teams, and you don't even have to like perform well to qualify technically if you're good enough as a team already. Like if your club is making enough money and marketable enough already. That's why you'll see teams like like when you said even Tottenham, it's really like 10 of the best teams in Europe, and then Tottenham and Arsenal got to sign up for the Super League.
Yeah, which is pretty questionable because they have not been performing well, at least for this past season. I know historically, yeah, like they had a good history, but as of recent, they haven't been doing well. Of course, Tottenham just fired Jose Mourinho, and with Arteta and Arsenal, that's still a question mark. Now, the Super League conversation has been going on for years, some say 10 years. Do you think this competition will resume talks again in the future, or do you think this is it? This is their chance. They blew it.
Oh, no. This will go on for years and years and years. This is always in the back of the mind, the elite clubs, because when you look at it, it worked. They got you to play your cards. They got extra money out of it. Oh, no, the fans are mad, and they're going to slap us on the wrist. Oh, no, they still got their money at the end of the day. So in their minds, they got you. This worked. UEFA showed, okay, we get it. You guys could leave if you wanted. But then UEFA also got the flexible power. It's like, we're going to ban you from World Cup, domestic cups, FA Cups, Copa del Reyes, Italian Cups. You're getting banned from everything. So there's little things where both sides are still flexing their power. But I think that the 12 teams, as bad as they look right now and as shitty as they just treated their fans, they won at the end of the day. They got the money. You're making changes to the Champions League that they wanted you to make that you said you couldn't dash refuse to before. All of a sudden, somebody touches your wallet, and now the changes are being made. So they have the formula to get UEFA to finally make changes, which is to just flat out say, all right, well, we're done with you guys then. But if you hurt UEFA in their wallet, that's when they're going to actually make a change. Notice how quickly they did it, too. As soon as you affected UEFA's money, all of a sudden it's a huge issue. Not when there's racist stuff going on in the games, like the old Slavia Prague situation where he got banned for 10 games, but it took like 2 months for them to like conclude on that. What's going on there? All of a sudden, though, it only takes 24 hours when UEFA's wallet hurts. So a lot of questions. I just want to make sure that everyone knows we aren't out of the water yet, football fans. We still have UEFA to deal with. We still have FIFA to deal with. Shoot, even some of the FAs, English FA, Spanish FA, Italian FA, a little too much power, if you ask me. A lot of money that is, it's not unaccounted for, but like you don't really know exactly who's getting it. So there's just still a lot of questions. I still don't think football is saved. I still think that the European Super League is a threat to the Champions League, just with Barcelona and Real Madrid, after seeing the changes that UEFA made to the Champions League. Because what I'm reading, they aren't even doing groups anymore. They're just going to make it one whole league, kind of like the Super League. Top eight teams go onto the knockouts, kind of like the Super League. And then every club is guaranteed at least 10 games, which would increase revenue, what the Super League was trying to do. So it seems like they just took the Super League's ideas that we didn't really like all that much, and they're just adding it into the Champions League. So, yes, I think that this is going to be talked about for years and years to come. The threat is always going to be there because when you look at it, what did the Champions League do 30 years ago? I know it looks like, oh, they just changed the name. It's pretty much the same thing that the Champions League did 30 years ago, but We won't bring that up. We'll let everyone just be angry at the Super League. Anyone that's going to challenge UEFA, though, I am a fan of you. If you want to challenge UEFA, I'm here for it. That's why I tried to back Don Perez. He made it very difficult. He put shame all over the club, and he flexed a little bit too much power that I don't think he actually had.
Yeah,
I'm excited to see how all of the court situations are going to go, because all of the teams did sign contracts, and Perez is a psychopath, so I know that he would probably actually go and sue every single team.
Yeah, which I actually was going to ask you, because I saw him for the first time on television these past two nights at this famous Spanish sports show called Chiringuito, and he was on it, I think, twice already. What are your thoughts over Florentino Perez? I mean, I liked his demeanor, very confident man. He's like, no, UEFA can't ban us from the Champions League this year, and they can't ban players to the World Cup. What are your thoughts over this guy?
I love Perez. Honestly, it's been hard to keep the love going for him these past last few days, last like 4 days. But what he did for the club over the last 20 years, he won us, what, 5 Champions Leagues? He brought us the likes of Ronaldo, Kaká, Benzema, Xabi Alonso, Zidane, brought in Mourinho, brought in Ancelotti. Like, he's done so much for the club. It's hard to really hate him, but like all the fact that this came crumbling down on top of his head, he was the chairman of the whole league, and he was kind of like making the Bernabéu, the new upgraded Bernabéu, was going to be like the home for this league. It's just not a good look. But knowing Perez and knowing the tenacity and the confidence and the power that he does have on top of the wallet, it's hard to see him giving up on it this easily. Like I said, I still don't think the Champions League has it right. They did their reforms way too quickly overnight, and it just didn't seem like the right decision, the ones that they made. So if Perez can get it right, and I know that he will buy the best people to set this up, he'll buy the best people to run it. If Perez can get it right, I don't see how it could possibly go bad.
MD 4 years old. He's also a part of – he's the CEO of Grupo ACS, a civil engineering company. So this guy has a lot of experience in business and negotiation. I will not be surprised, Anthony, that this was all part of a leverage move, trying to get, you know, UEFA to, you know, to meet their demands closer. But I think it was a very smart move.
Yeah, so I think it's between, like, it was kind of a poker move there, and at the same time, it was just a massive money grab. I'm not going to make them seem like they're super geniuses when it was just like, wait, we can just make all the money ourselves if they're not going to give it to us, because that's exactly what the thought process was. So I'm not going to act like they're like some super geniuses. But at the same time, I do think that their plan did work.
Yeah, exactly. There's also pressure for UEFA to ditch the Champions League coefficient safety net. Do you know anything about that? And the young leg left us a bit.
My fault. What'd you say?
Yeah. There's pressure for UEFA to ditch the Champions League coefficient safety net. You know what that is?
So the coefficient safety net is like what I was talking about earlier with, if United don't qualify in the top four, if they meet that coefficient, which is just their marketability and how the league can sell them, they can still make the Champions League, which is the shadiest part about it. That was like the main problem with the Super League was, hey, if you don't qualify high enough, why do you get in still? Why do you still, like, you can't be relegated from it? So they're talking about how, like, if Man U was to drop off in the sixth place and West Ham was in fifth place, rather than both of them going to Europa League, West Ham would end up in Europa League, and Man U, since their coefficient would meet the standards for UEFA, they would still get in the Champions League. So it's just like little things like that where big clubs still have all the power. So Champions League essentially gave them money and gave them a bigger safety net of, you don't have to be as successful in your league to qualify for this competition. So that was the main problem with the European Super League, and now you see them doing it in the Champions League. Which is why I think there's still life in the Super League now, because if Perez makes one one change where it's like, all right, we have a qualifying process. You have to do this, this, and this if you want to play in this league. Then it's like, okay, yeah, we'll play in that. Barcelona and Real Madrid are already in it. Might as well go play in that one.
Is it me, or do I think Florentino was the ringleader of all this?
Oh, no, 100%. He's a businessman. He's one of the best businessmen out there.
I see
it.
He's
got his hands in everything.
Great demeanor, dude. When I saw him, confidence at 100%. Amazing.
Yeah, some of our transfers are just based off of his businesses. Like, he had a new Colombian construction company when we bought James Rodriguez. Like, little things. Little things. He knows what he's doing. Like, I can't knock him for it. He's the president of my club. Like, he's been doing it the last 20 years. Has he made some mistakes? Yes. Does he do a lot of stuff where it's like, whoa, this was for money? Yeah, but at the same time, we're one of the most successful clubs in Europe, and you got to take the bad with the good, which I think we're going to be hearing a lot of people crying, like, oh, why aren't we signing more players? And it's like, well, we said we needed money. We tried to do this Super League BS. You guys yelled at us for that, and now we don't have any money.
Speaking about signing players, news yesterday, Alaba is going to Madrid. What are your thoughts over that?
It's going to help because I do think that if Varane doesn't sign a new deal, we're going to be selling Varane this summer. So that's like a cool at least 70 million. I would put it closer to 90, but that's just me. I'm biased. I think it adds an interesting dynamic because what we have right now is Casemiro at CDM, and he has absolutely no competition. At center back, we have not re-signed Ramos. Varane is talking about leaving, so that leaves us with Militao and Nacho Fernandez as our two starting center backs. There's a few out on loan, but nothing that seems very promising. So even if we were to get David Alba, I think that we would probably end up having to get another center back still. I'm looking at Koundé off of Sevilla to Madrid. Keep that in mind. He's my guy right now.
Hey, you got the insight, which I was going to say, you should work for BN Sport to cover La Liga.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to pay me for it, my only problem is making sure that I keep my language.
Oh, yeah.
Appropriate.
Which we've noticed in the show, but it's okay. It's okay. Good thing we're on the internet only.
Yeah.
Yes, so Alaba got signed for a five-year deal. That's probably a Florentino move right there. So definitely things are going for Madrid. What else does Madrid need to do to keep a winning side on their end?
Oh, well, no doubt we need an attacker. The fact that Karim Benzema is a player with the only double-digit goals, I think the next highest scorer is Casemiro, who is our center defensive mid, which is completely unacceptable. We have no backup for Benzema on top of the ridiculous amount of injuries we have this year. I think we're at 56 injuries on the year. Most of our starters now are teenagers. So it's not only depth, but like maybe an entire new medical staff just because they've been so atrocious this year. And I want Mbappe. I think it's no question that we get Mbappe. Also, if you want to sprinkle in Erling Haaland, I'd be all right with that too. Send Hazard over to PSG if we have to. That's fine with me.
Speaking about Mbappe, I know they brought that question up to Florentino like two nights ago. He was cited it off. He couldn't say anything much about it. But what are the chances to see Mbappe in Madrid?
Well, he's about to enter the last year of his contract, so they can either sell us him now and make some money off of it, or we'll take him for free. So I'd say it's 100% that he goes to Madrid. It's just a matter of time.
Matter of when.
Yep.
And they need it, guys. Anyways, Madrid, known for their Galacticos, with Florentino has said he will bring, I think, the third part of the Galacticos soon. So glad to see that Madrid is still in the Champions League still. I believe they're not going to be banned from that, apparently. But so tell us your prediction over Chelsea. Will Chelsea be easier than Liverpool?
I wouldn't say Chelsea are going to be easier than Liverpool. I thought Liverpool were missing some key injuries that made them kind of like a Swiss cheese type of team. They were missing Jordan Henderson. They were missing Virgil van Dijk, Joe Gomez. So I'll give them that, where they were missing a lot of key components of their team. They're missing their two captains. So that's rough for them. I won't act like we didn't have more injuries than them, because we did. But I think Chelsea are a little bit more put together at the moment. I think Chelsea are playing a good brand of football at the moment. Tuchel's kind of doing his Tuchel thing, which is move the ball, keep possession, wait for the openings. I don't think that's going to work as well against Madrid, because we're kind of like on the fly, good at breaking down press, have a really good high press. So to me, I think it probably will end like 3-1 Madrid over the two legs.
3-1 it is.
Excited to go to London, though.
How about
to see Madrid in London.
Not bad. How about the other other match between PSG and Man City? Who do you have for that?
So I have a lot of friends who are Man City fans, and they were very upset with me when I said it was going to be PSG. I think Mbappe is just playing on a whole different level right now. I think he's not really getting the respect because it is in Ligue 1, but at the same time, my man is doing it all by himself. Did you know Neymar's hurt again?
I'm not surprised. Not surprised.
I didn't even know he came back and was playing for him to get hurt again. So I think Mbappe is really showing his true colors here and how much of a problem he is just across Europe, Champions League. I mean, we saw him put up a hat trick at the Camp Nou. He puts up a brace against Bayern Munich. It's hard to deny the kid at this point. And I just don't see anyone on Manchester City that, if Neymar's healthy, is going to be stopping both of them. I know John Stones and Ruben Diaz have been having a good year so far, but Kylian Mbappe is a completely different breed.
A comment from our Periscope, Coach Sports Adam says, it's okay, they can put a disclaimer on the show at BN Sport. So if they did hire you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would make it easy. They see, like, I just need a BN Sports After Dark show. Like, put me on after 10 o'clock, and I'll do that.
Paid subscription. Anyways, yeah. Let's look at the other predictions for this week in the world of soccer. Leicester versus West Brom.
Oh, Leicester, easy. I need a Vardy party in my life. Grab your vodkas, grab your Charlies. My man's cold. Get him a penalty at least matters. Come on, man.
Which is another club that, you know, once in a lifetime won the Premier League. So, you know, these small clubs could pop up. I'm not saying Budapest will win the Champions League, but anything can happen. Barcelona versus Getafe.
Barcelona is going to beat the hell out of them because this is the only competition Barca still has left because they're garbage.
Everton at Arsenal.
This is the one where I'm torn because both of these clubs have just been severely letting me down gambling-wise. I think it's at Everton, right?
No, it's at Arsenal, I believe.
Oh, it's at Arsenal?
But what difference does it make when there's no fans?
There's just something about Arsenal away to me that always is just like, don't do it. Don't take it. Even if there's no fans. Nope. There's something about that bus ride for them. It makes them a completely different squad. I would literally just go for a double chance here and pick your poison on whatever team. Because to me, I'm not even taking either side. I'll probably just pick a goal scorer. I'll pick like a Dominic Calvert-Lewin's goal maybe. Or maybe I'll just get funky out here and just go with a Bakayu Saka goal.
There you go. Pick your poison. Newcastle at Liverpool.
I think this one's going to be extra interesting. One, take the under. Liverpool hasn't hit an over since God knows when. And Newcastle's been kind of shocking people. Who did Newcastle just beat last week? That was West Ham, right?
Yeah, the correct, 3-2.
And you could tell that FA wanted West Ham to win. If you go back and look at West Ham's goals and, like, Newcastle getting kind of cucked out of a few, you can tell that they wanted West Ham to win. Like, the comeback was there. My man Messi Lingard was doing his thing. But Liverpool just doesn't look good. I saw Leeds kind of take care of business against them. I'm gonna pick a draw. I'm going to pick a draw.
Draw it is. That's the first time I hear a draw. Usually people pick the winner, but that's good. You know, it's funny you say that because you know, Liverpool was on a good streak until yesterday. It's like, no, they're back to the old Liverpool about a couple weeks ago. Chelsea at West Ham, London Derby.
Oh, man. This one I think is going to be a great match. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to take the over on this one for sure. And I gotta say, I don't know if Tuchel's ready for the David Moyes masterclass that's coming for him. West Ham, I think this is going to be their bounce-back game because people are going to be like, oh, well, do they actually belong in the top four? This is the test, and I'm going to ride with West Ham. I think they can do it. Chelsea's got Champions League football to worry about. I think they have a FA Cup final to worry about as well, so I'm hoping that West Ham can kind of take care of business here.
Man United at Leeds.
Well, you know I'm a Leeds guy, right?
No idea. How?
Well, mostly – so when I played for FC Delco in PA.
I've heard that team. I've heard of them, yep.
Yeah, humble brag. We're well known. And my one trainer actually played for Leeds, so that's when I was like, oh, cool, like Leeds are cool. And then, like, I'm trying to watch them, and they were just always in the championship while I was growing up. So that was the only upsetting part. But Leeds, I just love how everyone hates them. My coach was a player there, so I was just like, all right, Leeds are my guys. I think it's hilarious how much everyone hates them, like, for no reason besides the fact that they were good, they were talking crap, and then they didn't lose like most of the teams in England. They just kept winning while talking crap. So everyone just hates them now. So I'm going to take Leeds in a spread here, probably Leeds plus one. And every time there's a Leeds game, I take the over every time because they either aren't going to be able to defend them or they're going to run the score up. Either way, because they can't guard set pieces. And the high press, if it's broken, they're going to get absolutely demolished.
Well, that will help Man City a little bit. League Cup final, Man City versus Tottenham.
Oh, Man City. Not even. Man City minus one. Take the spread. They even fired Mourinho. My only thing is, like, when Tottenham plays Man City, is like, oh, Pep versus Mourinho. Like, Mourinho's got a great record against Pep. They have now lost Mourinho. I don't even understand why they fired Mourinho. Like, you should have had low expectations for your season. Like, he would have got you your one trophy in the cup, but you fired him. So now it's Man City minus one. Shoot, I might even take a minus one and a half. I'm hoping Zach Steffen gets a start for that one. Shout out my guy.
Which you know.
Yeah.
Which I heard Mourinho got fired because he was arguing with the Tottenham front office over the Super League.
I heard it had nothing to do with the Super League, but that was also the club statement, which if I was a club and the coach was trying to tell me about the Super League and then quit over it, I would just make up a story about, no, we fired him because he's just not very good. Because, I mean, they do have evidence that he wasn't very good.
Yeah. Yeah, Mourinho is going to be interested. Where do you think he'll coach next?
I mean, if the Super League happens, I saw a post and was like, Jose Mourinho leads Brighton to the, or Aston Villa to the 2024 Champions League final. Like, I think that would be cool if something like that happened, if the Super League actually did happen. But where he coaches next, I'm hoping he goes over to Italy. I think we need to see him back over in Italy. I think he needs to go to, like, Milan or, like, Napoli to piss off Inter fans the way that he pissed off Chelsea fans.
That would be a good spot, you know, because Italian clubs are known for their defensive-minded soccer. So we'll see how it goes. And finally, where will Real Madrid land in the Liga table at the end of the season?
Number one. We'll end up winning, so that's just what we do.
All right. There you go. DNA. Love the confidence. And Twitter poll question of the day. Favorite time in kindergarten? Options are math, reading or writing, snack time, or nap time.
Snack time. Yeah, I voted snack time.
Snack time. And snack time.
It's the best snacks, man. Hey. I always had Dunkaroos. Like.
Well, snack is winning 50%, nap time 33%. Reading and writing and math both are tied at 8.3%.
Whoever voted for them, just know that you're a nerd. Because top and four is like, it's naps, recess, snacks, and then gym class. And if you voted for anything else, you're a nerd. All right? I just want to put that out there.
And they're probably a Barcelona fan, probably.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Anyways.
Yeah, an accountant and a Barcelona fan.
Exactly. Anthony, what is the best way to reach you online? And also tell us about your website and your podcast.
So my podcast is called 2 Foot Talk. Ooh, thunder. My podcast is called 2 Foot Talk. It's just hot takes, recapping all of European football, all the headlines, all the transfers, all the domestic club action. We also do a gambling show every Wednesday night, 7:30 on Twitch, twitch.tv/youngleg. We're on the Zach Steffen Gambler of the Year competition. So I'm actually in the lead for this, and since I'm in the lead, I'll probably end up getting a belt because I won and I'm going to pick the trophy. So belt it is, you know what I mean, guys? But, if you want to reach out to me at a young leg on Twitter, DM me if you need a gambling pick. I also have a Discord that has gambling picks every single day. My man Vic's in there, a parlay genius. My man has made thousands of dollars off the parlay. So just make sure you check me out on all social medias at A Young Leg.
And you can reach us at TheSportsCast1 on Twitter or at TheSportsCast.net for the latest and greatest. Tomorrow we got Victor Orocho covering some more NFL draft coverage. And this Friday we'll have an NFL recap of the week. There's always NFL news every week over free agency and also some draft news, see where things are pointing. Before we go, Anthony, what's your take on the MLS?
So I know people are mad about the Super League. Same thing with MLS. Just make it an open system. Make it an open system. Make it really competitive. Give little teams a shot. Stop making teams pay $250 million in franchise tags just to get in the league.
And growing.
Do that. Doesn't really make sense.
I do agree. We'll see what happens. Soccer is brewing. I'm an Inter Miami fan as of this week.
Oh, so, there you go. That was a good pick.
And you're a Union? Or you're a Philadelphia Union fan?
Yeah, I follow Philly Union. That's the only Philly fan, like Philly team I'm actually like I root for because I was there when they were made. It was like always cool. Like I remember going to Chick-fil-A and raising money for like selling their season tickets and stuff back in like the 2010s when they first became a team.
Interesting.
Always a good time. I try to represent.
Hey, there you go. Support our local clubs. Anyways, that is our second show. Probably our up to two shows this week in soccer. A lot going on in America, as I said. Anyways, Super League isn't happening. As of right now, Champions League is happening next week. A young leg, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Ala Madrid.